are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for the Liberty Kitchen. Now, people that know me, the few that know I'm passionate about great food, and my friends at Liberty Kitchen, they do lunch, supper, and brunch. You think of it as modern American comfort food. They take classics up a bunch of notches. So they got great burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried. They've got killer gumbo. You always have to add the blue crab to it, though. I promise you that makes the difference. Farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen stamps its claim on and owns. We're trying to get them in on Wednesday, so hopefully, unlucky guys, you should have been here Wednesday.
We can come back.
We could have you back. Liberty Kitchen staples, deviled eggs topped with fried oysters or Dixie fried chicken, oysters on the half shell, cowboy surfers, infamous burger bowls, po' boys, grilled chops and steaks. Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop for me. Signature cocktails and cold beer. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. Stop by Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and now in the Treehouse Memorial City. By the way, Arthur Blank, the owner of, is it Atlanta FC? He was eating at the Treehouse Liberty Kitchen during the Super Bowl. That we do know. A couple of quick things here before we get the guys on. Jeff Cameron played 9 minutes for Stoke, so he's in a race with time to play for the U.S. National Team in World Cup qualifying at the end of March. She Believes Cup begins on Wednesday with the United States, a 23-player roster. They'll start it off with Germany. So, you know, many times we talk about the competition the U.S. Women's National Team gets. They're going to get good competition in this. Germany, France, and England. Keep an eye on it. Three players that have ties to Houston: Jane Campbell with the dash, Morgan Bryan with the dash, Carly Lloyd with Manchester City / the Houston dash. And U.S. women are going to be in Houston April 9th, taking on Russia at BBVA Compass Stadium, a game that I'm going to have the good pleasure of calling with Julie Foudy. So some exciting things going on. One last thing. Chelsea 3-1 winners over Swansea. It proves to you that they don't have to play well to win. Here's a little bit from the man who's going to win the Manager of the Year and the Premier League title, Antonio Conte.
Yeah, very good performance. I'm pleased to win the game, but above all for the performance, because it was very good. We dominated the game. We created many chances. Yeah, we conceded the goal. At the end of the first half. I think maybe that the time was finished, but it happened. And our reaction was very good. And for this reason, I'm very happy.
So that was Antonio Conte. Just can't see Chelsea slipping up. All right, let's get on to it. Matt Peterson joins us now, broadcaster. Matt, by the way, congratulations. You're going to be on a lot of the NWSL calls this year, so congratulations on that. Thanks for coming in the studio.
Great to be here, guys.
Everybody knows Matt Peterson. They also know Jesus Acevedo, MLSsoccer.com, covers the Dynamo. He's down at practice all the time. Jesus, thank you for coming in the studio.
Thank you.
And Corey Repkin of the Houston Chronicle, also the beat writer on the Dynamo. These guys are down there every day. So I'll start it with you, Corey. Just what's different that you observe now with the Dynamo under Wilmer Cabrera, watching some of the training sessions, even though they're kind of closed? We're all wondering when we can see a full training session. But what seems different to you?
They seem a little more confident. I think they kind of sleepwalked through all of last season. They like that. Well, they're faster, and everyone is noticing that. They know that they're going to score more goals, and I think that is where a lot of the confidence comes from. They also really like Wilmer. They like the direction they're taking the team.
Jesus?
Well, Corey said exactly what I was going to say. They're faster, but I think they also look a lot. They also look like they're having fun out there, too, you know, and I think that's something that definitely wasn't there last year. I think that also helps with the team and, you know, new formation. And now there's a consensus to, hey, let's go and attack. And that's not something you could say last year with this team.
Matt, do you think this is part and parcel of just new ambitious players, a lot of roster turnover? This is the most roster turnover, I believe, in Dynamo history.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been out there once. Unlike these guys, I had an unfortunate minor leg injury, which has kept me on the sidelines. But just watching the preseason games in Tucson on the streams, I think a few things stood out to me. Number one, the trophy celebration, the guys were into it. Guys like Ricardo Clark and others were getting pumped up. I think the new Hondurans, Elise and Kyoto, were really excited. You saw Kyoto celebrating his golden boot and his MVP. Like, it meant a lot to him. I think an MLS veteran may not take as much into that, but for him, he's really excited to be here. So I think this year, compared to maybe previous years, more of the roster wants to be here. There's not, you know, a few players or maybe more that maybe want to be elsewhere. I think from the outside, it seems like more are committed. And I think the new players have maybe breathed life in some of the veterans like Ricardo Clark and some of the more longstanding players.
I think it's a great point. I think the Ricardo Clarks, the DeMarcus Beasleys, they can't carry it alone. And they are getting older. And when you do get a little bit older, you do want players around you that will breathe life on you. It's like bringing a little puppy into a house with an older dog. A lot of times it brings a different emotion out of them. But I think this is part and parcel, Corey, really, to roster turnover. You're talking about two young Hondurans that are coming here to prove themselves. They're ambitious. They're playing for their national team. There's so much at stake for a lot of these guys. In the case of Machado, it's a new challenge for him after being a champion at Saprissa in Costa Rica. So I think a lot of it also comes down to just the freshness of guys that want to prove themselves at a different stage and in a different league.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Elise. You know, he wasn't playing a lot at Monterrey, and he wants to prove that he can play. You know, maybe the Dynamo aren't the biggest club of his career, and maybe even Monterrey isn't. He wants to show that he can play and at a high level, at the highest level. You know, like you said, he's just an example of someone who wants to prove themselves, and I think they're kind of – they've all figured that out about each other. Like, they all are here for their own reasons, but there are a lot of new players, and they want to show that, you know, the Dynamo can be what they were a decade ago, not what they have been the last 3 years.
This was a masterstroke from the Dynamo to get Albert, Elise, and Kyoto, and I'll tell you why. Because, look – Monterrey is one of the biggest clubs in this hemisphere. The city of Monterrey is an amazing soccer city. I've spent a lot of time down there studying their youth development program when I was back running a youth soccer club. It's a spectacular soccer city. He's behind a ton of internationals. That's why he can't get playing time there. And it was a masterstroke from the Dynamo to get him to come here on loan. Jesus, your thoughts on the roster and the ambition of players now?
I think it's also some of the players that are here. You know, thinking about Kubo, you know, I mean, you can see that he's just a, you know, different person this year. Pre-games, he has 5 goals, I think, if you take into account scrimmage games. And also, I mean, we can't forget about Manotas. You know, he had a great finish, and I think he's also looking at it like, hey, now there's more people than I need to compete against, so I need to raise my game to a whole nother level. So I think it was great players, everything they brought in, Jordan and Cabrera. I think the players are – there's a lot of competition on this team, and I think that's something that Cabrera said that he wants. He doesn't want them to feel comfortable ever. He said once that happens, then the team's going to go down.
He's not going to let them feel comfortable, and that's the kind of guy he is, and that's what I like about Wilmer. 713-780-3776. You want to join the conversation with us? We'd love some of you Dynamo fans to give us your thoughts on where you think the Dynamo are heading into Saturday's match against Seattle Sounders. A reminder, we'll have another show Wednesday night. Eddie Robinson will be a part of that one. I've got a number of people from the Seattle side in on things as well, and some other special guests I'm working on right now, including Norman Whiteside, the former Manchester United star. So 713-780-3776, weigh in with us here. Matt, Jesus brings up a tremendous, tremendous point. There is competition that we have not seen in every line of this team in a number of years now.
Yeah, and I think it starts up top. I think the surprise of the preseason is that it looks like Mar Manotas isn't going to start on opening day. I think if you left last year's team and said, who can you pencil in as a starter next year? I would say Mar Manotas and Alex Lima. And after that, maybe not anybody else, barring DeMarcus Beasley if he's coming back, but he was out of contract. I think any other sport in most other MLS cities, this would be a bigger story. But the way it hasn't really been a story, I think that's a good thing for the Dynamo, and I think it's a good thing for Manotas and Eric and all that. On one hand, Torres is a DP. There's been a bigger investment in him than anybody. So it shouldn't surprise us that he's probably going to start on Saturday. But given everything that he's gone through in Houston, And the fact that maybe when he should have started previously, he didn't, it's almost a shock to all of us. So I think for Mauro, I'd love to know his thoughts and how he's handling all this. But I think it's a fascinating storyline in the fact that Eric Kubo Torres is finally getting a chance basically in year three.
I would say you have to start him, and I'll tell you why. He has not been in a confident mood like this as a footballer in a number of years right now. He came in here damaged goods with the off-field problems. He never quite impressed. Who's our manager?
Coyle.
Owen Coyle, who, by the way, just got fired from Blackburn. He didn't impress Owen. So how do you not start him, right? And you're with the manager that you had so much confidence with at Chivas USA. He scored goals. So the environment is conducive, just like Wilmer Cabrera said, to bringing the best out of him. We're going to give him everything we possibly can to make him successful. And that is an area where you say, wow, what great competition. You had Mauro Manotas pressing it at the end of the year, the real lone, big bright spot along with Alex last year. And what a great sort of motivation tool that he comes in and realizes I'm in a fight again. You know, it took me so long to get into the first team and start scoring goals, Jesus. And guess what? I'm in a real fight now with Kubo Torres to be the primary striker.
Yeah, and then again, I mean, you know, how do you sit anybody else down? Kyoto, he just scored two goals. You know, Ellis has actually shown stuff. You know, Kubo is back to being Kubo. So it just, he's just going to have to fight it out again. And, you know, and I do agree with, you know, everything you said, Matt. Everybody would have penciled him in at the end of last season. You know, him and Alex. So, but it just shows that what this team wants, you know, and what Jordan Anchorbearer said is that they're going to make this team better at all lines. You know, they said that in the offseason. And that just means that for Namara, he's just going to have to work hard.
All right. You're listening to Jesus Acevedo, MLSsoccer.com. Matt Peterson, broadcaster. Everybody knows him from the Houston Dash matches as well. Corey Repkin of the Houston Chronicle. All three of you guys, thanks very much for coming in studio. You had a long conversation today, Corey, with Kubo Torres. Anything interesting that you can spread to our listeners here about that conversation today?
I asked him, you know, kind of about, you know, what happened, you know, why, what did happen? Why hasn't he been great from day one with the Dynamo? And you know, At the end, he was kind of like, wow, that was a lot of negative questions. And they weren't really negative. It was just kind of trying to figure out what his thoughts were, you know, what was going on. And I don't know if anyone's ever asked him those questions. That kind of struck me. But he was forthcoming. He answered a lot of them in detail. And, you know, I asked him, you know, what did he want to happen when he went on loan to Cruz Azul last year? And he said, the plan was to come back here. I wanted to be back here. And that really struck me because it feels like he has unfinished business. And, you know, he mentioned he still wants to play with Mexico, the full national team. He knows they have a lot of games coming up, World Cup qualifiers, Confederations Cup. He's not writing that off.
Yeah, one last thought on that. The other thing I think this validates is that preseason matters for Wilmer Cabrera. I think, with all due respect to Owen Coyle and to a certain extent Dominic Kinnear, it didn't matter. I mean, last year was a great example that preseason didn't matter as much as it might now.
But is that because of the circumstances? I mean, I remember Dominic Kinnear very clearly saying, I want to win every preseason game. It seemed like it mattered to him.
But my point is maybe he's in different shape, different mindset. But Eric had this preseason last year, and he still came in third or fourth on the depth chart behind Will, behind Giles, behind Mauro. He was basically fourth in a single striker system. Now, he does it now, and it's a different manager, different system, three forwards, all that. But I think what it does for the whole team, if you're Jaleel Anibaba or Boniek Garcia or Andrew Wenger, predominantly starters last year, and you see a guy like Mauro removed from the starting spot because someone took his position, I think you can sit back a little better knowing that Wilmer's not playing favorites and the starting 11 has really earned it.
It's called competition. Mm-hmm. It's called competition. And I think the other real clear thing is this is a storyline going into the season. Kubo Torres' career is at stake here. I mean, it's been a while since he's played well.
4 years removed from his Chivas USA days.
This is a storyline coming into the year. Now, if he can't get it done under the a manager where he's had tremendous success in Wilmer Cabrera now, in an environment now where he's got two real wingers, okay, in Kyoto and Elise, that are going to beat people out wide and are going to pull center backs out of the middle so he can get isolated one-on-one with people. This is a monster year for him. I'm not throwing pressure on the guy because he's already got it himself. He doesn't need it from a radio host. But that is a storyline going into the season. We're going to take a break. We're going to break down the Dynamo starting 11. I have a feeling we're all going to be pretty close here, but we're going to break it down. Corey Repkin, Houston Chronicle, Jesus Acevedo, MLSsoccer.com, Matt Peterson. You're going to be seeing him on a lot of NWSL broadcasts this year. And Matt, you're always so helpful to all of us working for the Dynamo with communications. We do appreciate all that as well. Take a break. As we do, a quick word here just for this charity event, Friday, June 16th, Doubletree at 400 Dallas. It's a sportsman's dinner evening. Norman Whiteside, Manchester United, Bobby Tambling, Chelsea will be there. Dinner, raffle, auction. It's Friday, June 16th at 6:30, hosted by Tom Clare, Jesus Martinez, and myself. Curing Children's Cancer Fund, cccfund.org. Information on this, Facebook groups / Houston Red Army. It's going to be an amazing night. Goes to charity. It's going to be fun. Break. Back in a minute.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed here on ESPN 97.5. I've still got some tickets to give away tonight, 713-780-3776. We are talking the Houston Dynamo earlier in the show, a little Manchester United 3-2 winners over Southampton in the EFL Cup, formerly known as the Capital One Cup. A lot of cups out there these days, but this was a great game if you tuned in and watched it on BN. It was an absolutely enthralling game. Had a lot of controversy, a lot of great moments if you didn't see it. And if you caught the Real Madrid comeback against Villarreal, there's no telling how important those 3 points were for Real Madrid when it comes to winning a title over Barcelona. 713-780-3776 in studio. We've got the one and only Corey Repkin of the Houston Chronicle covering the Dynamo, MLSsoccer.com's Jesus Acevedo, and broadcaster Matt Peterson in here. All right, ready to go over a starting 11 guy. Well, let me just ask you. You know, we're all upbeat about preseason, and it is preseason. Where would your biggest concerns be? Not to be a Debbie Downer here, but Matt, where would your biggest concern be with the Dynamo heading into this season, or an area that we need to keep an eye on that could be one that's gotta work in order for the team to do well?
Yeah, I don't know about concern. I think I'm most interested in the three-man midfield and how it's going to fit. We haven't seen it with the Dynamo really since 2012 when Mukumba Kanji was on one wing, Kalen Carr was on the other, and Will Broom was up front. Now it's when Boniek came and they were flying. We haven't seen a three-man midfield like that since 2012. So watching preseason, it's kind of hard to tell with the camera angles and all that how the shape's going to work. But from what I saw, I don't know if you guys saw the same
and
thing.
And the competition.
Yeah, and the competition. But from what I saw on TV, Torres, Kyoto, and Ellis are very high, putting pressure on the back line, almost like a New York City FC or a Sporting Kansas City at their best. The outside backs are pushing very high on the other team's midfield. It's a lot of responsibility on the center backs, and the middle three have to get it right. So I'm interested on Saturday night how high they push, if they push as high as they did in preseason, how the midfield three makes it work, and if the other teams are going to have to play very direct out of the back, and it puts a big onus on the center backs and the entire back four winning balls in the air, because if they're going to bypass the midfield, it's going to be a lot of battles for the Dynamo back four. So how it fits with the midfield three support in the front three, that's probably my biggest question.
It's going to be all about balance. I don't think there's any question. And Elise and Kyoto have not been brought here to defend. They've been brought here to create things, and they're going to have a license to do that. But you're right. So let's look at the three that we think. And if you guys, if you don't agree with this, this is what I would think is going to be the three set in midfield: Juan David, Cabezas, Ricardo Clark, and Alex. Right? Because we've kind of seen that in preseason. Anybody disagree with that?
No. But
for opening day.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they really like Joe Holland. I think don't be surprised that, you know, if someone isn't performing as well, if he comes in there and steals a starting spot in the long run, that it wouldn't shock me. I wouldn't say it's going to happen right away, but I could see him being a guy that, you know, steals some minutes in the long run.
Yeah, he'll get some minutes, but, I mean, you're talking about Andrew. Look at the depth here of players. Andrew Wenger, Boniek, Garcia are other options. Holland is out of Hofstra. Eric Alexander. It's a lot of guys that were starters last year, it's interesting.
I think Wenger is earmarked for one of the forward spots. I think he's going to be a backup there.
He would be a backup to Kyoto, and those guys are going to go away on – national team duty. We didn't mention Vicente Sanchez, who can come off the bench late, but Joe Holland does come highly rated out of Hofstra. Jesus?
I was going to say Joe Holland too, but also Boniek. I think, you know, Boniek, he always finds a way to, you know, I mean, to put himself back in the lineup. Maybe not this Saturday, but I definitely see he's going to have a, you know, major role. He's definitely a, you know, good sub. Because you always know what he gives, and he gives you everything. So, but yeah, that would be the three-man midfield.
Yeah, and back to your point on Andrew Wenger, as long as Romel Kyoto's around, it's going to be tough to break in there. But those guys have to go away to Gold Cup. They got to go away to World Cup qualifying. There is going to be opportunity for people throughout the year. I'm going to put a circle around Juan David Cabezas for me, because as I – talk to a caller before, and I'm being very careful not to be too judgmental, guys, because it's very quick. It's preseason. He is a bit reckless. He's going to get sent off a couple times this year, number one. Number two, I want to be convinced with his ability on the ball and his ability to release people out of midfield, because you now have a team that has not had any sense or capability of the counterattack, really, except through Giles Barnes on occasion. So Cabezas is one I'm putting a circle around to see.
Yeah, I'm actually going to write about him tomorrow. I chatted with Wilmer about him today. And, you know, we saw the aggression he has, and you mentioned reckless. He got a couple cards, maybe could have had a red in the preseason. And Wilmer suggested that, you know, the timing could be better, but that's what he wants Cabezas to do. He wants to be a ball winner, and he suggested that, you know, in MLS there aren't a whole lot of players like him. You know, he mentioned, I think he meant Osvaldo Alonso from Seattle. You know, he's a true ball winner. But other than that, he said, you know, maybe referees just aren't used to seeing that type of international play where, you know, the defensive midfield is trying to win the ball rather than just possess it and build the attack out of the back.
Which brings up a good point, Matt and Jesus, that he will have to adapt to the refereeing in Major League Soccer, because it's different in Colombia. The definition of a foul is different. There are differing things. I think there are a few hard-hitting indigenous type of guys, and I don't think there's any question. The Dynamo needed, Jesus, some intimidators, right? I mean, we were too soft. We were like a glazed donut, man.
Yeah, and the, you know, good thing, yeah, he is not going to finish some games. He will be sent off or, you know, accumulation, but that's why there's a lot of depth on this team. Somebody can just fill in that position. But I think that it's going to take him, not just him, but also at least Kyoto. You know, some of these players, this is the first time that they're playing also in this, you know, MLS league. So it's going to take some time. But I think, you know, Juan David Cabezas, he's going to have the most education to get from, you know, this season. And hopefully he can also pick it up quick, so that way, you know, he doesn't get sent off too many games later on.
Yeah, this is a position I think has been a big problem for the Dynamo the last few years. Not really a problem, but I think it's almost been a scapegoat. I think I haven't seen Cabezas enough in person this year to really have an opinion. But 2 years ago, Luis Garrido came in, had some amazing games against Toronto, against Giovinco on the road when they won. That was a great Garrido game. marking Dempsey in Seattle and at home. He's had some really good performances, but he was sort of the fall guy for we can't possess the ball, the Dynamo can't control in the midfield. It always fell on Garrido's shoulders, and I always sat there and thought, well, he's not the only one that's losing the ball. Last year, you had some transition. Warner got healthy midseason. He got a ton of praise, but the system was built for Colin Warner. There was 10 behind the ball all
the
time.
Who didn't want to be a holding midfielder in that team last year? I mean, who didn't want to be a center back?
Yeah.
I mean, because you never got stretched out. You had people around you all the time, you know, especially in the latter stages of the season, because Wade Barrett was certainly kind of restraining the team a little bit and focusing on the shape of the team. And He had to do what he thought was best with what he had. I would say Garrido, though, did get kind of inconsistent.
Towards the end.
Yeah. When he first came, it was like Boniac Garcia, too. When he first came, this was a guy taking people on and really lighting it up. I want to take you guys to the goalkeeping position because I think Tyler Derrick, based on what I'm seeing, I'm going to make a judgment that he is going to start. You know, back in the days of Dominic Kinnear, probably would have been Joe Willis because there's always a lot of stock placed on what you did the season before. What are your thoughts? Do you think Tyler Derrick gets a start, Corey?
I think we'll know more once I can see practice, you know, Tuesday and Thursday. Because, you know, in their last preseason game, you would have expected, you know, they went with the ones and you would have expected that Joe Willis was in there based on what Wilmer had been doing. And then, you know, it's not even like Joe was on the bench or second guy. I mean, he wasn't even dressed. I mean, he was sitting down there, and that confused me. And I texted Matt Jordan. I said, hey, is Joe hurt? And all Matt Jordan said was, he is not in the lineup tonight. And, you know, when I was out there today, the brief amount I got to see is Tyler and Callie Brown and Jake McGuire, the draft pick, they were out. They had been practicing, and I think Joe had been – I think he's injured. No one's confirmed that to me, but I think he's injured. But I think if he wasn't injured, I think he would be the guy based on what we saw before the last preseason game.
Yeah. So maybe it is injury based then.
Yeah,
I think long term, I think the Dynamo still feel that Tyler Derrick is the guy that they want to be the number one here.
Yeah, I think Tyler this year, it's all about discipline. It's all about, you know, you got to go 34 games without getting a red card. You got to avoid penalties. Honestly, I mean, that did not help the Dynamo last year when they couldn't score. They were struggling to you know, keep balls out of the net. And he had the two big mistakes at Columbus and San Jose. You had the situation in Portland where he was subbed off at halftime for dehydration on a hot day, leading 2-0. They lose 3-2. So those are three games out of 30, or he didn't even play 30, that he had an issue in. So I think this year it needs to be a clean, disciplined season for Tyler where he's avoiding those kind of mistakes.
And then you got to throw in injury as well. And you're right. So I put him in the category of Kubo. This is a very big year for a goalkeeper that's done his time, that has a lot of great attributes, Jesus.
Yeah, I actually thought Joe would start. I didn't know that, you know, he might be injured. But I think this could be a make-or-break year for Tyler. He needs to be. It's kind of funny that, you know, we're sitting here talking about a keeper trying not to get sent off in a game, but it is what it is.
He seemed anxious last year. He was. I don't know what it was. He was coming off his line for balls. He probably didn't need to. He just seemed very anxious. Wanted to make plays, and that's a tough place to be in as a goalkeeper. And you know, not having been a goalkeeper myself, but I do know that that's a big confidence thing, but he's looked confident in preseason, I think.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, from the streams, he's looked good. The goalies haven't been under much pressure, so let's be honest. But I think Tyler, that enthusiasm, it's all well-intended. He's an athletic goalie. I think he's one of the more athletic goalies in the league. I think he's, you know, can come off his line really well, but I think it can get the best of him at times. I think the Columbus red card last year was just 6 games of waiting. You know, he's waited 4 or 5 years for the starting position. It's all this waiting and wanting to do a little too much, and hopefully after last year's moments, he can maybe be a little more mature.
All right, guys, if you want to get in the playoffs, you got to win games at home. The Dynamo were 5-5-7 last year. It's not going to cut it. An opportunity to really set the tone on Saturday and get points at home.
They definitely want the fans to come back. They need to start winning at home. That's for sure.
And entertaining.
Yeah, entertaining.
I found something out very interesting. The Colorado Rapids, when Oscar Pereira was there, it was an interesting team. It attacked more. Remember last year, it became a very, very defensive team and wasn't one of the more, in my opinion, and this is with all due respect, attractive teams to watch in the league. And it leads us to entertainment. And this notion that, it's just about winning. It's out the roof. People want to be entertained, especially in this city. And that's, I think, what you're going to get with these young Hondurans. But apparently the TV ratings were better for the Rapids when Oscar Pereira was there than, last year with the Pablo Mastroianni team because, it just seemed like...
When is the last time that this Dynamo team was exciting, that you can say was an exciting team?
I mean, they had their moments in 2013. I think they won 4-0 at DC United. They had the win at LA. They had their moments, but from a sustained success, sustained attack, I go back to the August, July 2012 when Boniek came in. They went 8 unbeaten. They won 5 in a row. They beat the Red Bulls at home to go to first place. That, to me, was the best run sustained since I've been following the team.
When Boniek came in. So a singular guy made the team more entertaining, and that's why I go back to Kyoto and Elise, and I'm not throwing it all on them. But these guys can make it entertaining again. I think that's what can excite people. They're young. They're brash. They want to take people on. They're streamlined. They can penetrate. They can press defenders. You make a mistake or you dwell on the ball as an opponent against these guys and they strip you, you're done. You're done. You're not going to get a second chance. So... But I think we're going to see goals service. Like that this year.
Yeah, also service. They can provide service.
Oh, absolutely. That, but I'm just saying they're going to create goals on their own that doesn't need a 15-pass buildup because of their abilities, their athleticism, and the area in the field where they're going to be hunting the ball down. If I'm a defender on the Seattle on Saturday, beware. All right, you want to take a break, guys? I think we are. Johnny Winter to break. Matt Peterson. Jesus Acevedo. Corey Repkin. In studio. We'll be back. We got more to go here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
I hope y'all know what I'm talking about. The way she waggles that thing, it really knocks me out. Getting high all the time, but if you knock the two. Come on, a little closer, gonna do it to you.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, hope you are all enjoying Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number you want to weigh in. We're breaking down the Dynamo ahead of Seattle. Matt Peterson, broadcaster in studio. Jesus Acevedo, MLSsoccer.com. Corey Repkin of the Houston Chronicle. And me, Glenn Davis. Whatever you want to call me. 703-780-3776 is the number. Now, we were bantering some things around during the break, and this is a great point. When Albert Elise and Romel Kyoto go off to play with Honduras, these are two players that are going to very much, in their absence, change the complexion of the Dynamo, which means... Wilmer Cabrera is going to have to take this team in and out of a couple of different systems. And that's something that we're going to have to consider because, Matt, you brought up the fact that before the Gold Cup, you got like a two-week camp. So this is why depth is going to be important this year.
Yeah, I think guys like Andrew Wenger, Boniek Garcia, obviously Mara Minotis if he's not starting. But I think in the back as well, I mean, you're probably going to lose Machado to Panama, but... Jalilani Bob had a good season last year. Agus had his moments. He had some injuries, but I think the depth is there in certain positions, but they will be called upon for long stretches.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you don't have that speed of the Hondurans on the wings, is Andrew Winger going to give it to you? No, he's a good player, but he's not that fast. So yeah, like you guys said, they're going to have a different type of attack, type of formation when they don't have those guys. That's going to be critical.
Will L. says on Twitter, at Glenn Davis Soccer, have you talked Spurs tonight? Kane Satrick was awesome. It was. We didn't get to touch on it enough. What else we got here? Oh, by the way, Strike Jesuit Preparatory School is the number one high school soccer team in the state of Texas, and wow. I believe number four in the nation, coached by Bill McDonald, good friend of mine and former teammate professionally here in the 80s. So that's pretty nice. Houston's getting a little love on that end of it. All right, Jesus, back line. A lot of age, a lot of experience there, a lot of new additions. It looks like likely three out of four of the four backs are going to be new players unless Agus gets in the starting lineup. Your thoughts?
I think this team has a chance to have a pretty good defense. Barring, you know, hopefully Beasley can, you know, stay healthy. But both him and AJ, I think they're just going to push up, you know, on the sidelines. And they can also provide service. They can go wide. So I think it's a good starting lineup, but I think something we're talking about is there enough depth once, you know, some of those players maybe get hurt or they have to go for international duty. That's something that may be a concern on the back line.
AJ De La Garza was on the show and made it clear, and this is what I've always loved about him. He was at Maryland. He's been a center back also for the LA Galaxy, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. So he's versatile. But the one thing I like about him, first and foremost, especially when Kyoto and Elise are on the field, first and foremost, defend first. I mean, a competitor. That kid is a competitor. All right, we got a couple of calls going in here. Let's bring on some of the callers and let them react a little bit. Chris, what's on your mind tonight? Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Glenn, I'm kind of confused right now. I wanted to know what you and the guys think is going to be the first formation we'll probably see. 3-4-3, 4-3-3, completely new team. I'm not too sure where the coach is going to put everybody at.
I think all signs are pretty much pointing to a 4-3-3, especially when Albert, Elise, and Kyoto are here. So these two wingers are going to push up high next to a striker. We all are thinking that Kubo Torres is going to get the start this weekend. We know Minotas is there. But I think that's kind of the starting point. We just made the point a second ago with the guys that when Elise right. and Kyoto have to leave to go away to the national team, do the Dynamo move into a 4-4-2? Do they move into a 4-5-1? Do they just out swap somebody in for Elise and Kyoto, which would likely be Wenger? So I think that's all to be determined.
So what Premier League team do you think like this? This team kind of compares to. I know it's counter-attack is what I see in the preseason games.
Well, I'm not sure. Until they play a real game in MLS competition, I'm going to have to restrain on that one. I think we got to wait. We've been watching preseason. We're all in here making judgments about it because I think it's part of what we all do.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing definitely so far has been the defense. I'm not too sure how it's going to be, like you said, when they switch off international. It seems like in the preseason they take out the whole team and put a whole new team on, get scored on. It was pretty good so far. You know, I think everybody knows as a fan, didn't lose one game. Man, anything is got to be better than last season, for sure.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's going to be better than last year, and I think we're going to have a lot more excitement down there and hopefully reclaim some of the fun in that stadium, which, you know, maybe has been evasive the last couple of years.
It's been MIA.
Yeah. One more question with the team we're going to play against, Seattle. Do you think that they'll go ahead and sign Honda?
Well, guys, anybody have any information on that? You guys are the investigative journalists here.
But no, I wish I did. But I think he'll be a good signing, good for Seattle. Obviously, I mean him and Nico. Dempsey coming back. And, I mean Jordan. I can't even think about it right now. It just seems like that'll be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, I would love to see Kasuki Honda in MLS. That would be great. All right,
well, big fan of that guy.
Me too. And we'll see. Will Broom's got a lot of competition to get in the lineup there as well. Anything else?
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot. Oh, no, that'd be it. Thank y'all.
Hey, thanks for listening in tonight. Let's go to Robert. Robert, what's on your mind? Join Jesus Acevedo, Corey Repkin, Matt Peterson, and Glenn Davis. What's happening?
Hello. So my question is kind of I've been kind of following all the news surrounding the Dynamo lately, and what I don't think anybody has really addressed, and what I kind of saw at the in those preseason matches, was that, like, when we moved to that 4-3-3, it created a lot of space for the teams to work. And I wonder, with a kind of an unproven defense, other than the wingbacks, I just wonder if we're going to hold up. Because last year, I know we saw how vulnerable we were in defense and how that really affected not only the just not winning as many games, but the team mindset. I want to hear your take
so,
on
so let me just let up. Me just make it clear what you're saying here. You're saying because the front three are pressing real high, you're worried about what's going to happen when the ball's lost?
Yes.
I mean, okay. Yes. So here's what I'd say to that. We have addressed it. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, that the balance of this team, when those front three are broken, that's going to be a big question. And it's going to be a question, I think, with Alex and Ricardo Clark and Juan David Cabezas. Thank you, Jesus, this weekend. So, I mean, I think these are things that, you know, we got to take a snapshot of maybe 10 games, don't you think, guys, before we can really see how this develops, because we got to get live MLS competition. But I think you're bringing up a good point.
I think 10 games will be good enough. I think that's why Nasser Cabezas was also brought here. He's a ball winner. So as soon as the ball turns over, he needs to go find it. That's what his job is going to be.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, for me, I think the good thing about this new formation, by all accounts, you know, just watching the slice, it looks like Wilmer has truly coached the defense. The video clips we've seen, he has got them in line like an Army sergeant, working on shifting, working, you know. I talked to some of the RGV players last year. They said that when the ball's at the opposing left back, and if you're the left back for RGV, you have an exact role in the field you need to be. So it sounds like shape and placement on the field is important. And I think Beasley and De La Garza will help with this. They're two of the most experienced defenders in the league, and they'll kind of set the tone. But my question, I don't know if you guys know, is who's the organizer between Leonardo and Machado? Machado seems like maybe the more athletic one, but –
Tough to tell.
I think most good tandems, you have one organizer, one guy that kind of puts out the fires. Do you guys get any sense on how that role might be?
Not from watching the game.
It's hard, but it's funny that you brought up AJ, because I keep thinking that maybe since he has that CB experience, that maybe he's the one that's maybe organizing them. I don't know. Maybe that could be something.
Listen, I think it's always a question what happens when the ball is lost. And of course, Wilmer Cabrera is training the team to work on what happens when the ball's lost and where we are in relation to the ball. That's what it's all about. Now let's see if it can be executed. Because if a front three is broken and the balance in the shape of a middle three and outside backs is not there, it can be a problem. You know, we saw Sporting Kansas City kind of really figure this out through a couple years ago, how to play with a three set in midfield. And how to play with a three set in midfield when you lost the ball. So that's one of the great questions, I think, and storylines going into the season from a tactical perspective. I don't think there's any question.
I also think you really need to use the depth that you can. There's not many midweek games, but I think if it's a Wednesday game, automatic Remick plays for Beasley. I think if you can swap in an Anibaba in the back for maybe Machado, you give the older players a rest when you can. Again, not many Wednesday games, but over the course of the season, due to the depth issues, give Rico a night off. Give the older players a night off every possible time.
I think that's a must. And I mean, I think you're talking Leonardo as well. I mean, Machado might need a blow at a time. I mean, he's going to be going away with Panama too. So the likes of Agus, Jaleel, Anibaba, they're going to have significant roles to play in very big games with big points at stake. Right, Corey?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you and I don't worry about the depth at some of the other positions like I do at the wings. You know, I think the backups at defense and at midfield are minimum adequate, and I think they can do almost just as good a job on a really good night.
So here's a number. I was thinking about it. The front four predominantly, Torres, Minotas, Kyoto, Elise. What's a realistic over-under combined goals they can get in the season? So I'll say pie in the sky, best case scenario, 32. And if they get it, they're a playoff team. More realistically, probably somewhere 26 to 28. But what do you guys think is a realistic number for those four combined goals this season?
Kubo told me today he has his sights set on 20, 22 goals all by himself. Now,
well, that'll be his first 22 goals for the team because he hasn't scored yet. So I like his ambition, and I hope he lands his 60% of that. I think we'll be happy as long as you get contributions from Elise and Kyoto. But I do like that. Like I said, I think he's in a confident place. How wonderful would it be if that kid and that man came out on Saturday and scored against Seattle? You know, just to
make a
sort of put a cap on preseason. And the fact that he's scoring goals and, you know, because we all know this is all about a lot of times confidence. So we appreciate that phone call from Robert.
What do you think, Glenn? Is 32 within
reach? I think 32 is a good number. I think 32 is a good number.
I'm going to go with 30 just to go under. I think 30. My thing is, who will be the leading scorer among the three? Well, I guess four if you put, you know, Mauro in there, because he's going to have chances to play with Kyoto and Elise going to international duty. So I wonder, is there one that is just going to jump out like you know maybe Kubo scores 20, but or is it going to be more even, like 5 goals, 6 goals, 7 goals each, gets more than 5, or it may just be spread.
The Dynamo scored 39 goals last year. If you take away the 11 in the first, bang, wallop, crazy, I would say crazy something else I was going to say. I'm glad I didn't say it.
Which is why you need 10 games. But, you know, last season after 6 games, everybody thought the Dynamo would
subtract those 11 goals, and it's, you know, it's a nightmare. So I think without a doubt we're going to see more goals. You're going to see this team create more chances strictly because – a lot of this wide game that just affects so many other things, including center forwards and breaking up the shape of any other teams. All right. Any predictions for Saturday, Corey? Dynamo get a win against Seattle at home? Yes or no?
Yes.
Jesus?
Yeah, I'll go 2-1, Dynamo.
Matt?
I see a win, too. I no longer work for the team, so don't call me a homer. But this just seems like a win. I think Corey wrote about it. You know, they tied him 3 times last year, and this looks like a better team. They had a great preseason. Seattle knows they can start slowly. They're thinking about the banner ceremony when they come home. I think the Dynamo need to win this one. They've had slow starts the last few years. They have 7 out of 10 at home. They need to come out of that 7 out of 10 at home in a playoff position.
Curtain raiser, Seattle 0-3-2 in preseason in Tucson and Charleston. The Dynamo winning games and a tournament in preseason. And as Matt says, I think it's imperative the Dynamo get out of the blocks good. And I think there is an internal pressure on getting a win against Seattle in this opening game. Seattle's a bit beat up. Brad Evans is one of the guys that's likely not going to be available. Not sure what the extent of Dempsey's going to be, but it should be good. All right, for Tyler Scott, for Corey Repkin, Jesus Acevedo, Matt Peterson, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in. You can get the podcast of this show at podcast.arena.com. Don't forget that. Twitter is Glenn Davis Soc. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over there because I didn't get to tell a great story about Mike Piazza, the New York Mets baseball player running what is a wonderful lower division Italian team. Third caller right now, 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets. Dynamo Seattle. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.